Well, listen, welcome everybody. It's good that you're here with us tonight. I've got something that for this past 3 days, but I have felt the weightiness of it, and I felt it like a pressure, but not a pressure, but like just this weighty pressure lying upon me. And I have changed this. I have gone back over it. But I sense God is on this message tonight. And I sense that he wants to speak to us, his church, about something that he's about to break in and do. And so I want to share a story first of all with you, because when I was 17, I was out of work. I had been in work, and the factory I was employed by went into liquidation, lost my job, and it was right at the summertime. And then at the end of the summer, I realized that at age 17, 18, all my mates had gone back either to college to study or had gone back into their work, and I was spending long days on my own, twiddling my thumbs and thinking, well, my goodness, what am I going to do? And I remember one day in my bedroom, kneeling at the side of my bed, and I says, Lord, I need work. I need to do something. I need you to find me a job. And within a week, I had been sent for an interview with a development company in Coleraine called Cairn Developments for an apprentice electrician's job. And I remember going there and I thought, wow, this is something I was trying to get into anyway. And the Lord opened the door and I was so confident that this job is mine. So I walked in. I thought I did the interview really well. And the guy said, I'll be back to you within the next 24 hours. Well, 3 days passed. And I had heard nothing. And I remember, Lord, 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 I know this was my job. What has happened? Why hasn't this guy phoned me to confirm it? And the Lord took me to Psalm 46, verse 10. And it's that, be still and know that I am God. And I had to over the next, it was like another day before I got the call. And that whole time was just like, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm believing in you. I know this is right for me. You need to bring this in. And I got the phone call and I started the following Monday. So in the midst of a season that could have gone wrong, and yet I had faith in God that what I had felt inside was what he was going to deliver and bring to me for that season. And thank God he did, because it was through electrical work that we managed to keep our family for about 14 years running a contracting business here in England. So God was merciful. Even at that time, he was preparing, because he knew the path that we were going to eventually walk through, and it would be an important factor to play in both of our lives. Yeah. So not that I knew you at that time, but so God is good. This is where I want to start at tonight. God is good. Now I'm going to speak on 2 Kings chapter 7. And so but basically to give a little bit of background, because we're looking at a city, and the city had gates. Now most times cities in those days were built with an outer wall, then a gap, and then an inner wall. So both had gates. So it speaks very much sometimes of David sitting at the gate when the army went out to go after Absalom. David says he was before the Lord sitting at the city gate. Now this wasn't an uncommon thing in those days, because many of the clerics, the political leaders, those that would weigh things up, businessmen, met at the city gate. And even it was known for princes and kings would actually be there at the same time, having these meetings, discussions. And if you look at even down to the one of the first things that was talked about was the first mention of a city gate was in Genesis 19 and verse 1. And that's where this is dealing with Sodom, and Abram's nephew Lot was there, and he was having this meeting. He was engaging in a meeting at the city gate, but he was the one that actually got to speak and welcome the angelic visitor that came to that city. So just by being in the right place at the right time, the Lord can bring angels to you to deliver a message. Amen?
Amen.
And then you hear the other time when in Esther it speaks about Mordecai, who was sitting in a meeting at the city gates and in the walls of the city, and he heard the plot that was threatening to kill the life of the king. So by being in the city gate, he found information that was invaluable to save the king's life. And then also to control the gates of one's enemies, was to conquer their city. So if you controlled the gates, you'd actually conquered the city that you were after. And part of Abraham's blessing from the Lord was the promise that your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And that's in Genesis 22, verse 17. So there's a promise of the Lord. If you possess, he's going to bless you to possess the gates of your enemies. That means you're taking territory. You're not actually just there being part of the crowd. There is a mission and there is a destiny placed upon your life. So tonight, let's take a look at this piece of scripture in 2 Kings 7. I'm going to start at verse 3. So now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why do we sit here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we will die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us go over to the camp of the Arameans. If they spare us, we'll live. But if they kill us, we'll but die." So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Arameans. When they came to the outskirts of the camp, the Arameans, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Arameans to hear a sound of chariots and a sound of horses, even the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, "Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and of the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Therefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their donkeys, even the camp just as it was, and fled for their life. When these leopards came to the outskirts of the camp, they entered one tent and ate and drank and carried from there silver and gold and clothes and went and hid them. And then they returned and entered another tent and carried from there also and went and hid them. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, but we are keeping it silent. If we wait until morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household." So they came and called to the gatekeepers of the city, and they told them, saying, "We came to the camp of the Arameans, and behold, there was no one there, nor the voice of man, only the horses tied and the donkeys tied, and the tents just as they were." The gatekeepers called and told it to within the king's household. Then the king arose in the night and said to his servants, "I will now tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know that we are hungry, therefore we have gone from the camp to hide themselves in the fields, saying, 'When they come out into the city, we will capture them alive and get into the city.' One of his servants said, 'Please, let some men take five of the horses which remain, which are left in the city. Behold, they will be in any case like the multitude of Israel who are left in it. Behold, they will be in any case like the multitude of Israel who have already perished. So let us send and see.' So they took, therefore, two chariots with horses, and the king sent after the army of the Arameans, saying, 'Go and see.' And they went before, after them to the Jordan, and behold, all the way was full of clothes and equipment which the Arameans had thrown away in their haste. Then the messengers returned and told the king, so the people went out, plundered the camp of the Arameans." So it's quite a story that we find ourselves in tonight. Just hearing about this condition of the city, the fact that they were starving, they were being under siege, they were being starved to actually force them to surrender. And here we find four men who are classed as being unclean in Israel because they carried the disease of a leper. And so they were sitting at the city gates. And as the story goes, they were actually having the conversation between all four. This is where you see desperation calls for change. Desperation calls for change.
Yeah.
These four men had the conversation. Point one, if we go into the city where the famine is, we'll die there. Point two, if we sit still here and do nothing, we'll die. And point three, if we go to the Armenians, we may live or we may die. So they basically had to make a choice to cut loose and to actually change their circumstances, basically thinking their circumstances cannot really get any worse than what they already are. And the very worst scenario, we'll not get saved by the Armenians, but they'll actually kill us, and we'll be dead anyway, quicker than probably we would have been if we'd stayed with the city. So I think it's important to note that God came and God played on the minds of the army. He allowed them to hear sounds and to have these accusations creating in themselves that brought fear on them and made them turn, drop everything at their feet, not thinking about wealth, gold or riches or silver, but they actually took fear, came upon them because of what the Lord had done upon them, and they actually fled for their lives. And yet there was nobody there. It was a but God scenario. Mm-hmm. God turned up and caused a deliverance, and all the people benefited from it. So it was reported to the king like a ghost camp. They have all fled, they've all gone. So I just want to take us a few minutes. I've got 6 points here that I think are beneficial for us in our walk with the Lord. Point one, this is a basic belief and system that if we don't adopt this, then we will lack. And so I want to take us to 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy, chapter 3 and verse 16. This is where it says, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. So that's all scripture, not part of it. Every single black and white part that's on your page in front of you is God-inspired, God-breathed, and it's there for us to profit us and to reproof us and for correcting us, for training us in righteous ways before our God. His ways are higher than our ways, so he is actually telling us in plain language here that this book that we have today that we call the Bible has been given for us to use in this generation. And verse 17, the next verse, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work.
Come on.
So if you're adequate, that means you've got it all going on.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing you're lacking. And if you're equipped, you've actually been added to even more than that. So you're equipped for everything that you're going to come against, everything that will face you down, every opposition, every persecution, every sickness, every trial, every verbal accusation that would come against you. You have been the man of, you've been given the adequate needs, and you've been equipped by the King of Kings. There's nothing more that we need because he is with us in every area of our life. And I take you here to Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says to us. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. It's all his. How can it not be his? He made it all. He created it all. So we give glory to you tonight, Lord, because you are good. And then verse 9 in Haggai chapter 2. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts.
Amen.
And in this place I will give peace, mm-hmm. declares the Lord of hosts.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This is scripture, guys, that we need to like print off, put in our fridge under a magnet, but read every morning. It's like a declaration, a refreshing and a renewing of our mind by the truth of the Word of God. What the Lord says about us, that we are part of this, the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former. We are in the latter glory. We are in the latter glory times. So we are going to be greater. And that's why Jesus said, greater works you will do than what I have done.
Mm-hmm.
Because we walk into the glory realm. We're walking into the latter time where the Lord has got a plan. He has got a destiny. He has got dreams to be fulfilled in each and every one of our lives that he dreamt about us. He dreamt over us. And now we are walking it through his hand upon our lives. We are walking it into being. And he has made us adequate and equipped us for the task. Amen?
Amen.
Destiny is what the Lord has placed upon you. You're not here by mistake. You are destined to be here. This is the season that the Lord has ordained for you, for me, to be alive. This is a life-giving experience, and we get to walk it out before the King. Number three, Philippians 4:19. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You will not lack. There is no lack for the children of God. He says he has never seen his children begging bread or going without. That's our Father. He says, if you ask me for bread, I'm not the one that's going to turn around and give you stone. I'll give you what you ask for because you're a child of mine and I care for you. Mm-hmm. And any parent that loves a child will go out of his way to make sure they don't go without. Amen. Amen. And so point four, Proverbs 22:9. Now this at first might seem a little bit out of character for what we're talking about, but it's a truth that if you take on board will actually help us. And in verse 9 it says, he who is generous will be blessed. He who is generous will be blessed. So if you're already generous, you're going to get more blessing, but God blesses us for this. For he gives some of his food to the poor. So out of the blessing that God has provided, this man gives some of his food to the poor. So he doesn't give it all away because the Lord has taught him wisdom that he doesn't give everything of his away, but he gives sufficient away to help those that are poor around him. If he sows into them, then God says that you're going to get more of a blessing because you're looking after and fulfilling scripture to look after the widows, the orphans, and the poor.
It's the seed for bread for your house and seed to sow, isn't it?
Yeah. So point five, Psalm 118:24. You need to remember this one. Every morning your eyes open, every time your foot hits the floor of your bedroom, you need to say this, speak it out loud. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what we see, no matter what is coming against us, this is God's day. He had ordained it. He had planned it. We'll speak more about this in a minute or two, but it's God's day.
Yeah.
We got to rejoice in whatever we see in front of us because he has got a greater plan. He is on his way to arise and to actually change and shift the nations and to establish his kingdom and his rule and reign over this country, over this nation, and over this world that he created. Now, point number six, Exodus 3:2. This is God intervening on our behalf. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, as Moses, in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. And if you go on down to verse 8, this is God speaking. And he says, so I have come down. When God desires to shift and to make things happen, in this particular instance, he had heard the cries of his children in Israel, lockdown, in a lockdown scenario, in captivity, under the Kosh, under the Egyptians, and the Lord says, no, I'm raising up Moses to be my servant, to be my man for the moment. He will be my adequate one, and I will equip him so that he can accomplish the task. And so Moses gets this commission to go to Pharaoh and to say, let my people go on behalf of God. But in the midst of it says that God came down to be there and to orchestrate and to bring it to pass because his intention was going to be fulfilled, that his children that he loves would be the ones that would stand by the Red Sea, and that Moses would raise his rod and the waters would part and they would get to goes right through the waters and come out the other side into dry land and from that point on be safe and be moving forward and then getting to the point where the Lord says, now you're going to cross over into the promised land. That which I have spoken over you is now about to be fulfilled and you will cross and go in and take the land and you will just, it's yours already, just go in and take it. And there was that thing about the spies, you know, the spies went in and some come back with a negative report and two come back with a report, even though there's big giants in there, let's go take the land. Our God is with us. But it took another 4 years before that to sink into the whole of the children of Israel before they came to the point where they were up for going in and taking the land that God had given them in the first place. Amen? So we got to remember that God's in the business of coming down and blessing us, looking after us, and walking things out on our behalf to actually accomplish the destiny that he has placed upon our lives as his children. There is not one of you out there tonight that does not have a destiny placed upon your life, that God is in control. God is working things out on your behalf. So you need to trust. This whole thing is about you need to believe what you believe. If we believe in our God, then we need to believe in our God. There is no waver in the kingdom of God. It's a belief. You got to stand firm on your belief. You stand firm on the rock Christ Jesus. In James chapter 2 and verse 5, it says, "Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him?" I always hear it said that if you can do a task for God and you can manage it on your own, then you don't need him. It's when you see a task that God speaks to you about and you think, oh my goodness, this is so big, I couldn't do this. Well, then you know that God is speaking. If you have wealth that you could employ people and make it happen, well, then you quite literally you could be doing a good deed, but you may not need God to be there in the midst of it. When you have no finance and you have nothing that you can pour into the pot, and yet God speaks to you and say, go do this, you need your God to be in it. You need to know that it's him. And because he is in it, it's his will, it'll be his bill. And God will provide the riches. But sometimes when you have nothing in life, you tend to stir up more in faith because you've got nothing to lose. And you're like the four lepers at the gate. What have you got to lose? Let's take the risk factor out of this. Let's go to the Arameans and see if they'll spare us. And so faith rises and you just make a beeline towards your destiny and stop being held trapped. Now in Romans 8 verse 17 it said here, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ." That means we're royalty, brothers and sisters. And it said, "If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Now that's a part many of us don't like to hear, is the fact that we can sometimes share in the sufferings that Christ went through. But when the enemy is at you, you know you're doing something good because you're suffering and you've actually raised your head above the parapet and the enemy is having a pop at you because he sees you as dangerous to his kingdom, to his rule and authority. And he sees you as one that's coming against him. So he wants to come against you. And sometimes that brings us into a place of suffering. But it's a suffering that we endure for Jesus. And it builds us into perseverance. And it brings us out the other side stronger. We learn lessons in it. So there's God is good all of the time. But there's a goodness that takes us through things and trains us and equips us that builds character into us as his children for what's coming in this next season. Amen. And then verse 19. "For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God." Come on. Nature, creation, is waiting for the revealing of the sons of God. Who are the sons of God?
We are.
You are. I am. We all are. But nature is waiting and crying out for us to arise and take our place of authority, to know who we are ordained by our God, the power of God that is upon us to do exploits for him. We need to realize that you're a child of the living God, you're a son and a daughter, you're a royalty, you have been ordained by your king, and he has placed a robe around you, put a ring upon your finger, and told you, go do it, folks, because all of heaven backs you. And so we need to be prepared to reach out and go in this next season. Part of the training and the equipping is like in 1 Peter 5 and verse 6. "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at your proper at the proper time. So if you exalt yourself too early, then your pride is rising up. But if you're humble before your God and you wait on him, then he will bring you up to the time of your release at the right season and the right timing. You got to wait on his timing. To rush ahead is unwise. But if you wait on the Lord, and that's why it's that 2 Chronicles 7:14. If you, my people, will humble themselves, you'll and seek his face and call upon his name. Lord, come. Call him to come. Call him to come. And repent in the midst of that. And to bring ourselves low to say, Lord, we surrender again to you because we desire more of your ways than what we're living in at this present season. And in this season of lockdown and what we've been in, I mean, 2020 has not been the year that many of us thought it was going to be to date. And I mean that to date. Mm-hmm. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 4 to 5. This is where John the Baptist's guys have come to Jesus and said, are you the Messiah? And so Jesus replies to them, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Mm-hmm. Go tell John the Baptist that. This is what the people are seeing around me as the Messiah, as the Son of God, operating and training my disciples to walk in my ways. So John was able to be assured that Jesus was the one that he baptized in the water, that he was the Son of God, and that's why the skies opened and the Father spoke over his Son. This is my beloved in whom I am well pleased. So John needed to know that when he was locked up in prison. So what I'm saying to you tonight is the four lepers at the gate had a decision to make. And movement brings release. Staying put does not bring you answers. Movement actually brings release. In the Song of Songs 8 verse 5, it said, who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? I believe this is a word for the church right now. That the Lord is in this time of lockdown, where he has allowed the whole of the world to be brought to a virtual standstill, and yet the Lord is on the move. He is working this out for his good, for our good, for the good of the church, to fulfill the destiny and the plans and purposes that he wants to see fulfilled before he returns for us, his bride. And so the Lord says, who is this coming out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? Well, that's got to mean nothing more than intimacy with the Father. And we need to learn as we're in this, before we all get released again, that this is a season that the Lord is speaking about the abiding in him. That we need to learn to abide in him and allow him to do abiding in us. So that we all are linked and held together in the rhythm of heaven. So that the kingdom of heaven comes to earth. And that we say when we pray the Lord's Prayer, that your kingdom come as it is in heaven, so it shall be in earth, Lord. So we call that into play right now for this season, that the Lord says, be prepared, be ready to walk, and be ready to move when I am ready to release you, that four walls cannot hold you in. And so out of that, the number four has cropped up. Verse 4, where the four lepers are mentioned about making the decision to go. It was the first 4 days where the Lord formed the whole of the universe as it is known now. He actually had that all made. He prepared the stars and the sun and the moon and the earth structure. It was only after the 4 days that man and that came into play. But he had actually set his heart to make this 4 days a significant 4 days. There's four corners of the earth that we talk about. There's the south, east, west, and north. So the four plays a lot to do with the earth. Four is a number that the Lord uses. And it actually it's interesting that at verse 5, it says that they arose at twilight and went out to the Arameans. They arose at dawn, which is like twilight, dawn of a new day for them. They took the risk, and it was the dawn of a new day for them. 2020... In the Hebraic calendar, actually means deliverance.
Yay!
In the Greek calendar, 2020 means to shine or the dawn.
Like the
I think 2020 has got a huge significance in what the Lord has been leading us to and preparing us for and getting us ready to actually take the risk and take the faith level and step out.
Amen.
No longer to be held inside the walls of the city, like the walls of the church, but to actually start in this next season as we're released, to move out of our comfortability, of our slumber and our laziness and our unwillingness to fulfill the gospel message that Jesus asked us to take and go to the nations and make disciples of all nations.
Yes.
I think this season is shifting and the Lord is raising up his banner. He is drawing his sword out of his sheath. That Ezekiel 21 verse 5, he said he has thrown his scabbard away. He has a sword raised high and he is declaring war on the nations. He is actually sending forth a cry over the nations in this next season, and he is calling his church to awaken to its destiny, to awaken to its purpose and to start moving in it. Should it cost you everything, go for God's ways, because they will pay off in the end.
Yeah.
You will get a treasure in heaven that the earth's treasures could not come close to. You got to go with what God's word is, what God says over your life. Stop deliberating, stop holding back, and stop making excuses to what the Bible clearly says. You are called to go. You have the power. You have been made adequate. You have been equipped. So let's do it, church. Let's rise into the function that we were called to do, because the Lord says that in the end times he's coming back for a spotless and a pure bride. That's you and me, guys. We are in the season before he returns, and so we are going to see a significant change happen. I'm just going to speak about that in a minute or two, but before I do, it says here in Song of Songs verse 8 verse 6, put me like a seal over your heart. A seal over your heart. The Lord wants to protect you. He wants to put his protection upon you, your heart, safeguard you, and put a seal upon your arm. It's like you mark yourself for Father, so that you are known. It says, because for love is as strong as death, and jealousy as severe as Sheol. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Let's get ready to turn up the intensity of the heat and the fire of the Lord, that we will be baptized in the fire of the Lord, not only with water, but with his fire. We get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but we want the fire of the Holy Spirit. We want that purification, bringing us into the holiness before the Lord, so we will accomplish much in this next season.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play you another little video clip here. Listen very carefully to the words of this video.
We'll never get it out now.
So certain are you? Always with you, it cannot be done. Do you not think that I say?
Master, moving stones around is one thing. This is totally different.
No different. Only different in your mind. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, I'll give it a try.
No, try not. Do or do not. There is no try.
You want the impossible.
Why you fail because you don't believe it. The same power that was given to us is the same power that rose Jesus Christ from the dead.
Yeah.
Its Bible says very clearly it's in us. He has blessed us with a gift. He has blessed us with the gifts, and we are all given what we need to accomplish the works and the tasks set before us. We have no excuse anymore, folks. And so that's why I want to say that this 2020, the 31st of this month, is the next Pentecost. It's actually the celebration of the Acts 2 event. And so I really feel it in this season that risk will lead us into changes. If we step out of our comfortability, if we take what we've got and turn it for good, start using it, start looking for creative ways to connect with people, friends at work, and just love upon people, mm-hmm. and see the Spirit of the Lord move upon you to actually win souls for Him. It says, because the harvest is white, the fields are ready for harvesting. And that verse there says, pray to the Lord to actually send laborers into the harvest. That actually word send actually means beg. It's like a real, we need to beg the Lord to send laborers into the harvest field. So, in Matthew 13, it speaks about the angels doing harvesting. But let's face it, folks, we don't want the angels to be taking all the glory for it. Not that we want the glory for it, but we definitely want to be some of the people in the world that are used with bringing in this harvest of the billion soul harvest that everybody is talking about. And that's why I felt this message was for tonight, folks, that this 2020, this Pentecost, what if this Pentecost is the outpouring of the fire of the baptism of the Lord, like it fell on the disciples, who the 120 in the upper room in Jerusalem, they waited upon the Lord. And that's why these mornings and the 10 days running up to the 31st is so key, because it's your heart standing before the Lord saying, Lord, I'm calling upon you. I'm saying, Lord, come. Put me on fire. Let me find you in the secret place. And just to wait upon His presence to saturate us, to overtake us and to overwhelm us, to give us such dynamite in our systems that our bellies are bursting with the fire of God wanting to come out. What if this 2020, this Pentecost on the 31st, is that God has ordained this. This year, like I said earlier, has been nothing like what we started the year out thinking it would be. I think God's on the move. I think He's getting ready to launch the end time army of the Lord and going after to bring in the number of the saved into the kingdom of God before He prepares for His return. And so I think there's an equipping, there's an energizing that's coming to the church, but you have a choice. You can stay like the four lepers, and you can decide to move back into the zone of the four walls and stay there and hopefully make it through. Or you can decide to go with God, to go with Jesus, and to march as part of the army of the Lord in this next season, equipped. So I see this here as the, it's like the Psalm 2, the Joel 2, because you've got to have a Psalm 2, and then it leads into the Joel 2, and ends up in the Acts 2. And what I mean by that, well, look at Psalm chapter 2 and verse 4, where it's just before the verses before have said the kings of the nations are conspiring and coming together, and they're putting their plans together, and yet the Lord says in verse 4, he who sits in heaven's laugh, in the heavens laughs, the Lord scoffs at them. Their plans are their plans. They are not his plans. And his plans, because he owns the whole of the world, are what are going to come to pass. So the Lord says he laughs at the plans of men and the kings of nations who think they can come and go and do as they want, when the Lord is ultimately in charge of everything. And then if you move into the Joel 2 scenario and verse 28, it will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. You hear people prophesying about, you know, the generation, the youth generation is going to be the one that's seeing this revival coming in. No, it's not.
It's together.
It's all. It clearly says all here, and it says he's pouring out his spirit on all flesh. Even those that don't know him yet will be touched by the spirit of the living God. When we're out on the streets and we're praying for people for healing, the Holy Spirit is not a respecter of whether they know Jesus or whether they don't. He is intently loving upon them and will heal them and cause them to think about this Jesus that they've just had an encounter with, that they have just felt the power of him flowing through their body and causing them to be healed. The Holy Spirit is not a respecter of persons. He says he will come upon all flesh. Mm-hmm. And so we're in this season where we're calling on the armies of the Lord to arise and take the nations. Take what is rightfully ours and bring it in and award it to the kingdom. And in the Acts 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. What happened, folks, on the Pentecost was the power of the Lord fell in the room. The building shook and tongues like fire fell upon the heads of all the disciples, of all who were in the upper room. Tremendously, radically empowered and changed, never to be the same. And they come down and they go out on the streets and they preach. And even some of the people think that they're drunk with wine at 9 o'clock in the morning. And Peter says, no, we're not drunk. We are just filled of the Holy Ghost. We're filled with the Spirit. And everybody that was there from all the nations and the regions around heard the gospel message in their own language. They heard it, even though it might have been spoken in Aramaic or in Hebrew or in Greek, they actually heard it in their own dialect. So the Lord, again, like he did with the armies that were the Arameans, he's got the ability for signs to be what he wants to be proclaimed. He is the God of signs, and when he releases a sign, it's to take note and to look at it, to hear it for what it is, and then move on it. So we want to be part of the shaking. We want to have this next Pentecost as a powerful time when the church really, really, really rises up into the power of the cross, the power of his blood. So we go and do dynamic works. We see the signs, wonders, and miracles being released because Jesus' blood cries out that the men and women and children of this world come into a relationship with him. So that he gets his reward for the suffering that he went through on the cross. That's why he says to us, church, rise up, rise up, rise up. Mm-hmm. Let's take the nations. Let's take our town. Let's take our street. Let's take our neighbors. Let's see them. Let's love them. Let's bring them into the kingdom. This whole thing about the children of Israel crossing over into the new land, crossing over to take, I think this Pentecost will see this crossing over into the next season of the church. I think this has been marked for this year. It's been marked by the Father. Never before have we seen a circumstance like we find the world in, where the whole world gets locked down. So God is up to something bigger. You and the enemy think that he may have started this, but God is laughing at him and saying, no, you don't get it yet. I'm the one that's in control. I'm the one that's in charge. And my hand is upon this, and good will be manifested out of all of this. We are going to see a victorious bride come together, the unity of the church, and we are going to gather. We are going to be not one standing looking over the fence in the fields of the white harvest, but we're going to say, now, That's old days. That's old school. I'm jumping in there. I'm going to take the risk, and I'm getting in the field, and I'm going to take what I've got with me in my hands, and I'm going to start laboring for the Lord, yeah. whatever it is I've got, because it says the kingdom of God is at hand. It's in your hand. So go lay your hands on the sick. Go pray for them. Go heal them. Go raise the dead. Go heal the lepers. Go cleanse those that are riddled with demonic activity in their life. Set them free in the name of Jesus, that the blood of Jesus gets its reward. So we are called to be united in our pursuit of him. We're called to be united in going after the acts of the service of the king. We are anointed. The Ephesians 6 armor has been made totally available to us. You can kick yourself out in it every day. There's nothing stopping you from coming in to this army of the Lord. You're already in it if you've said yes to Jesus. We just need to do it, folks. It's given to us. We have got everything, and we have no reason to stand back and try and even vaguely make an attempted vague thing to the Lord saying, well, I wasn't really sure that's what we were meant to do. Come on, folks, time to get real. Stop pussyfooting around and let's get to the task, and let's get to the job that God set before us, that Jesus paid a price to release us to go do for him. He's in heaven. He's warring on our behalf. All of the saints that have gone before us are in heaven warring on our behalf. There is no more excuses, folks. It is do or die. It's step out in faith or step back. The Lord was after it, hungry people that are going to follow him right into the battle that is before. But you will be empowered. You will have all the power of the Lord upon you, in you, and working out through you, because it's what God has gifted us, the church, with. So we need to take it. We need to run with it and stop messing about. So I've got a declaration. So I want us to actually put our hands on our heart. And I'm going to read it out a line at a time. And I want us to repeat it. So this is a declaration of truth. So place your hand upon your heart and speak it out if you mean it. I am pulling down strongholds.
I am pulling down strongholds.
Of wrong beliefs.
Of wrong beliefs.
Fueled by lies.
Fueled by lies.
My thoughts are increasingly.
My thoughts are increasingly
hope-filled.
Hope-filled.
My prayers are powerful and effective.
My prayers are powerful and effective.
God richly supplies all of my financial needs.
God richly supplies all of my financial needs.
I am dead to sin.
I am dead to sin.
And alive to obeying God.
And alive to obeying God.
I walk in ever-increasing health. I live under a supernatural protection. I prosper in all my relationships. I consistently bring God. Encounters to other people. Through Jesus, I am 100% loved. And worthy to receive all of God's blessings. Each of my family members. Is wonderfully blessed. And radically loved by Jesus.
I uproariously laugh.
When I hear a lie from the devil. I set the course of my life. With my words today. I declare today. That I cannot be defeated. Discouraged.
Depressed.
Or disappointed. I am the head.
I have insight.
I have wisdom. And can ask for more. I have God ideas. And God dreams. I have authority. Because of who lives in me. God is on my side. Therefore I cannot be defeated. I choose life. I choose health. I have a new covenant with God. And by the blood of Jesus.
And by the blood of Jesus.
I release my divine protection.
I release my divine protection.
And my divine provision.
My divine provision.
I am no longer weak.
I am no longer weak.
I am strong.
I am strong.
Amen.
Amen.
So Father, we bless tonight. We bless the word of the Lord. Father, that it would go and accomplish that what has been sent forth to accomplish, because your word doesn't return to us void, and it always accomplishes. So Father, what we've been sharing and speaking about tonight, we release it under the Spirit, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to go and accomplish much in the lives of people. And we bless everybody that's been on this call tonight.
Jesus.
We bless those that are sick, that have ailments, sicknesses, health problems, in the name of Jesus Christ. We just pour upon you right now the oil of the Lord, that healing balm of Gilead, that it would touch the top of your head, and it would run like Aaron's beard, all right down over your body, right to the very soles of your feet, that everything that the enemy has encamped or trapped you into gets broken right now by the power of the blood of Jesus, and that this sickness, this illness, this affliction, this demonic attack actually gets washed off of you, gone forever, and that you get restored, and you get back what the devil has tried to steal from you, comes back to you in a manifest presence from the Lord, and you get blessed with an abundance. So we bless you tonight in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, that the goodness of your God, that surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. So we bless you right now to receive more, to receive dreams in the night, to receive just the word of the Lord, that the prophetic would be released around you, and that the dreams that you've had in the past would be dusted off and looked at again, and realize that they are not dead, that there is life in them still, and God's now calling them back for this season that we're about to enter into, that is going to be good. There's going to be fullness in it. There's going to be the fire and the presence of God all over his children, all over the world. So we bless you, Lord. We say thank you. Thank you, Father, that you are an amazing God, and that your ways are higher than ours. And we bless you as we look towards these next couple of weeks, Lord, as we roll up to the time of Pentecost, where we celebrate the empowering of your church and the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit turning up with great power, that dynamite. So, Lord, we call it again. Let it be so in this 31st of May this year, 2020. May it be marked in the calendars of time forever and ever,
Lord,
as a day never to be forgotten,
God,
when your church awakens to who it really
God.
Is. In Jesus' name,
yes,
amen.
Lord.
Amen.